wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5. He said, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I think that instruction is really great in Ephesians chapter 5. Be careful how you walk. Of course, that can be applied in so many areas of life. In fact, those of you who have reared children know this very well, especially if you have children who leave messes on the floor. And there is nothing more intimidating, nothing more horrifying than having to make your way through a dark room with sleeping children in it, with toys all over the floor. And you know the feeling of stepping on a Lego or some kind of a car or something like that, and a sudden jolt of pain that shoots up your leg. Be careful how you walk, right? Of course, Paul's not talking about something so frivolous. He's talking about spiritual walking, as he does throughout the book of Ephesians. He talks about the kind of spiritual walk that we have as Christians. And yes, there are the proverbial, symbolic toys, spiritual toys strewn across the ground that we have to make our way through Satan's devices. And Paul simply says, be careful how you walk. Because this life is messy, and it's full of all kinds of things that will hurt you spiritually if you're not careful. So walk carefully. To be reckless or to be careless with the lives that God has entrusted to us, to walk in a way that is not careful, but to walk in a way that is careless, is foolishness. It is foolish to walk in that kind of a way. Now, we could go in a number of directions from this text and talk about the ways God wants us to be wise in our life and the way he wants us to walk carefully in our lives. But there is one issue that I want to raise tonight. However uncomfortable it might make us and however people might hate when preachers talk about this kind of thing, there's one topic I want to talk about with you tonight that I think Christians don't tend to think enough about. Generally speaking, I'm making no accusations to people here or anywhere else. I think just generally that is the case. And this issue that I want to address tonight is one which is very easy to be careless in. And it's easy when we come to this kind of a topic to let our spiritual guards down. What I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about is the clothing that Christians wear. Of course, the summer months are nearing. It's not hot yet. But we're nearing the summer months where, of course, you know, people around us will begin to shed their winter coats in favor of more comfortable attire. And this is a natural thing that seems to occur. It happens every single year, and I don't anticipate that it'll change this year. But what is incredibly disheartening is that it's not uncommon to see strong, otherwise unyielding Christians who don't yield to sin in any way dress an awful lot like the culture around them, not just during the summer months, of course. But this is an area of our lives that we need to guard against. It's an area of our lives that we need to walk carefully, that we need to be wise and discern what God instructs us about these things. And of course, dressing like the culture is not inherently wrong. It's not wrong to wear what your neighbor wears unless what your neighbor is wearing is against what God says to wear. Dressing like the culture is only wrong insofar as the culture goes against God. It's not wrong to be fashionable. It's not wrong to wear what others are wearing so long as what the culture around us is wearing is not dishonoring our God. So, it is for us as Christians to take Paul's advice in Ephesians chapter 5. We need to be people who walk carefully. We need to be people who are wise in all of the choices that we make. But even as it comes to when we talk about the clothes that we decide to wear, we need to be people who walk carefully. I want you to know this evening, and this is kind of where I'm going to send this lesson, I want you to know that the clothes that we decide to wear as Christians, men and women, young and old, whoever we happen to be, the clothes that we decide to wear as Christians impacts the way people look at us as Christians. And I'll begin here with this point, kind of flipping that in the other direction. And I want you to realize that in your own life, the clothes that you see other people wear impact you. Whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not, the clothes that people wear changes the way that you look at those people. Have you ever noticed that you can learn a whole lot about a person by the clothes that they wear. And I'm not talking spiritually here at this point, but you can learn a lot about someone by the clothes that they wear. You can tell what kind of job they have. You know, you understand this point. You know, you see somebody walking around in a suit and tie. You think, oh, well, maybe there's some kind of a lawyer, some kind of a businessman or something like that. Yeah, he walks in next to a guy in scrubs. And you say, well, that guy's not a lawyer or businessman. He's a doctor. He's a nurse. He's someone. You understand something about the person, what he does for a living based on the clothes that he wears. The clothes that somebody wears can tell you about the person, where they've been or what they're going to be doing. You know, you talk about somebody, if you encounter somebody who's wearing a bridal dress or something, you know, some kind of a real formal gown or even a wedding dress itself, you know, you say, oh, that person's getting married or has just gotten married. You know something about them. Maybe if somebody's wearing, you know, all black, you say, well, maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe they've just experienced the loss of a loved one. You know, if you see somebody dressed up in some kind of a Halloween costume, you say, oh, I know where they're going, right? You can know things about people based on the clothes that they wear. And quite frankly, getting into more of the heart of the person, what clothes somebody wears can even tell us something about what they think about what they're doing. You ever seen somebody in Walmart wearing PJs, right? They don't really care about that trip, right? You can tell something about their mindset about that. You know, they don't really care what anybody thinks about them. They don't care. You know, it's just in and out. You know, we're not trying to impress anyone. I compare that to the person who's going for a job interview, right? Quite the stark difference. A person wearing a job interview does care about how he's viewed. He does care about that. You know, you can tell something about what is going on in a person's mind. And of course, that's not a new phenomenon. This is not unusual that clothes tell us something about this. This has been going on since the very beginning of time, that people have dressed in certain ways depending on the situation, depending on what they think about the situation. In fact, even when we go back to the Old Testament, to bring the Bible into this discussion a little bit, even when we go back to the Old Testament, we see people interacting with God and those around them based on their clothes. And I'm talking specifically here about Genesis chapter 41 and verse 14. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 14, I think it's really interesting. There we find the story of Joseph. And Joseph is going before Pharaoh. He's been in prison. He's dirty. He's you know, just a mess in prison. Hasn't washed, hasn't cleaned, hasn't changed his clothes or anything like that. But before he goes to Pharaoh, Genesis chapter 41 and verse 14 says he changed his clothes. Why? Well, because what you look like outwardly tells people something about what you're thinking inwardly, what you feel about the situation inwardly. Of course, Jesus would teach in the New Testament about these kinds of things. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 through 14, Jesus tells the parable or a parable of this great wedding feast. But one man was cast out of the wedding feast. Why? The master says, because he did not wear his wedding clothes, right? Clothing is important. Culturally, we understand that clothing has some significance to it. And if you don't believe that we think that culturally today, then you haven't watched the various award shows on TV where all people can talk about is the clothes that people wear. We realize that there's value in clothing. And the reason there's value is because of what Jesus taught over in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, although Jesus does not specifically speak of clothing here, he speaks of a deeper issue. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 16, Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man." What Jesus is saying here is that the things that we do outwardly, that which comes out of the mouth, the words we say, the things we do, the way we dress, reflects who we are and what we think in our heart. That's why our clothes matter. And that's why the things that we wear can indicate something about the person who is wearing them. It's always been that way. Clothing truly affects how you look at people, whether you realize it or not. By looking at the clothes that I wear, you can make some reasonable judgments about who I am and what I value in life. I realize you can't know me personally just based on clothing, and I'm not suggesting that we can judge people solely based on their clothing, but there are things that we can deduce from that. Now, if other people's clothes affect the way we look at them, then we should not be surprised to learn that our clothes affect the way that we are viewed in turn. And it's true that clothes affect the way people look at us. They affect the way people look at you when you wear them. Think about this fact, that the clothes that we wear impacts the influence that we might have on people. Of course, Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, that we are to exert an influence. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. Shine your light. Be salt that is flavorful for the world to taste. Exert your influence is the point Jesus is making. People are watching you. What are they seeing in you as Christians? Do they see someone who is consistent in the way that they apply God's word to all areas of their life? Or do they see somebody who is consistent about the choices they make and the clothes they wear? Or do they see someone who dresses like a Christian until they go to certain places, until they go to the lake or to the gym or something like that? Do they see someone who is concerned about covering what God wants covered? Or do they see someone who's more concerned about the comfort level that they experience when they wear the clothes? Do they see someone who is careful not to dress lavishly and immodestly? Or do they see someone who is only concerned about the style of the day? People will notice the kinds of things that you wear. People will notice the inconsistencies in your life because the clothes that you wear reflects who you are. And whether or not you are being the right influence you are is in part determined by the kinds of choices we make, not only in our clothing, but in the clothing that we wear. Our clothing can determine whether we or not we exert a proper influence on people. Our clothing can also encourage or discourage lust in those we encounter. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30 makes it abundantly clear that unlawful sexual desire is wrong. Do not lust at a woman who is not rightfully yours to lust after. And by the way, if I can make a brief aside about Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30, although Jesus specifically addresses that to men, don't lust after women, I think it would be absurd to conclude that women are perfectly reasonable to lust after men. No, that wasn't Jesus' point. Jesus' point was don't lust. And I think we can go to other passages and show that as well. Men don't lust, women don't lust. The unlawful desire is what is wrong. But do we realize that the clothes that we wear can impact people negatively even in this arena? Now, there's a reason. There's a reason that pornography is a multi-billion dollar industry the world over. And it's not because people don't like lusting. In fact, it's quite the opposite. There's a reason certain magazines can publish swimsuit issues, and there's a reason many ads have women spokespeople. You know, you drive down the street and you see billboards, all kinds of things like that. That's because, quite frankly, men like to lust after women. Unless you think that's a one-sided issue, there is a very real reason why 50 Shades of Grey did so well in the box office. And there's a very real reason why the good-looking men continue to go without shirts on TV shows and movies and so forth. It's because women like to lust after men. You see, many men and women struggle with the sin of unlawful lust. This is not something that is unusual. It's not something that's odd. And the clothes that we wear on a daily basis can contribute to the struggle, or it can help guard against that struggle. Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, Jesus describes that causing one to sin is pretty serious business. Causing one to stumble is serious business. It's not as simple as saying, men, you need to control your minds. Yes, men, you need to control your minds. And by the way, women do too. But it's not that simple. In fact, wouldn't it be great if we all had the attitude of Paul when it comes to our clothes? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, if meat causes my brother to sin, I will never eat meat again. The clothes that you wear are powerful. It affects the people around you, whether you know it or not, whether you see it or not. Are you exerting the right kind of influence in the lives of others? Are you sharing the right kinds of desires? Are you influencing the right kinds of desires in those around you or not? But finally, the third point I'd like to make here is this. That our clothes affect not only how we look at people, and how people look at us. But our clothes also affect the way God looks at us. They can be conforming to God's will. The clothes can, that be. The clothes can conform to God's will or be opposed to God's will. Well, let me take you to two passages really quickly and try to show you this point. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 9, Paul says this. He says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by the means of good works, as is proper for women, making a claim to godliness." Now I'm not going to go into all of that. We can do that in another lesson and see what all of that means. But I want you to notice that if nothing else, if we don't get anything else out of these verses, I want you to notice that phrase in verse 9, that there is such a thing as proper clothing in God's eyes. Now, what all that is, where we draw the lines, I'm not going to get into that here, but there is such a thing as proper clothing in God's mind. And God wants that proper clothing to be our adornment. Now if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, you see this passage here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where we find this, that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Okay. So there is such a thing as proper clothing, and God wants us to adorn ourselves with proper clothing. 2 Timothy 3 tells us that Scripture guides us to completion in Christ. Is it reasonable for me to conclude that God's word is going to guide us into the kinds of clothing that he wants us to wear? I think so. I think God does reveal to us what proper clothing is. You know, some people will say things like, well, God wants us to dress right. He wants us to dress modestly. He wants us to cover well, all of those kinds of things. But he never really told us how to do that. He never really told us what is proper clothing. No specifics were given. But let me share with you this thought, that can't be true. Because God wants proper clothing, and God has revealed our needs to us. Therefore, we must be able to determine what is God's will for the clothes that we wear. And I want to offer some guidelines along those lines in just a moment. But for now, know that God does address these issues, at least in some capacity. Consequently, if God has proper clothing in mind, and it is possible to wear non-proper clothing, then consequently, your clothes can affect your eternal relationship with God. Does that sound harsh? Now, this is just clothes. What are we talking about? Like, is God really gonna judge people for the clothes that they wear? Yeah? I won't pretend to stand and judge in the judgment seat of God and tell you exactly where you ought to cut your, you know, skirt hem or where you ought to, you know, those arm sleeves are too big. I'm not gonna try and do that here today. But I do want to read from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Just because we wear the name Christ does not mean that our lives are conformed to Christ. Lots of people claim that Jesus is their Lord, but very few people, we read here, obey him as their Lord. Not in some areas of life, but in all areas of life. And the fact is, if clothing can be right or wrong in God's eyes, as we read in 1 Timothy, that there is such a thing as proper clothing, then God be merciful on we who have been careless in this area of our lives. And certainly we all have at various points. God be merciful to us. God notices the clothes that we wear. The question is, are we honoring him or are we dishonoring him by the choices that we make? Here's the point. We need to be careful in the way that we walk when it comes to all areas of life, but even when it comes to our clothes. Just as clothes affect what we see in others, our clothes affect how others see us. And just as our clothes affect the way we see others, our clothes affect the way God sees us. But before I give this lesson over to you and allow you to, you can let me know if you want to throw stones at me after we're done here. I don't anticipate that, but before we do that, I want to offer what I think will be just a few brief observations to help guide us in this sort of decision-making process. How do we make the right choices for the clothes that we wear? Let me offer four observations from Scripture here. And to do this, for the most part, I think we need to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, where we see the first clothes really come into the picture. Because in the garden, God created man without clothes, and the text even reminds us that they were naked, and they were not ashamed of that, because they lived in this perfect relationship with God, and there was no need for clothing. But when sin entered the picture back in Genesis, Adam and Eve, their eyes were open when they ate of the fruit, and the text tells us that there was shame that entered in. They hid themselves from God because they were naked. Here's the first point I want to draw out of Genesis chapter 3. Nakedness is shameful. And we need to remember that when we go to our closets in the morning and pick out our clothes. Nakedness is shameful. When man realized that they were naked in the garden, they hid themselves from God. Adam says, because we were naked. In fact, if you go to the other end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, when Christ is giving these messages to the seven churches of Asia, he encourages this church in particular to buy clothes from him. He's talking about spiritual clothes. He says, you think that you have these fancy clothes over in this city, but you need to buy spiritual clothes from me because you are naked and you are shameful in your conduct. Nakedness is shameful. Second observation, clothes are given for the purpose of covering nakedness. That's why we have clothes. Back in Genesis chapter 3, you can find in verses 6 and 7, after man ate of the fruit of the garden, of the tree, that is, they tried to cover themselves. It says with fig leaves, they made these loin coverings, and they tried to cover themselves because of the shame that they felt. And it's not until verse 21 that God comes in and covers them. He clothes them with animal skin. But the purpose is always to cover nakedness, to cover up the shame that is felt as a result of their sin. Let me encourage you when you wake up, when you go shopping for your new wardrobe, when you wake up and go to your closet to try and pick something out, your wardrobe must not be dictated by the style, culture, or comfort that you desire, but based on whether or not it covers nakedness. There's nothing wrong with clothes that are stylish, comfortable, and culturally appealing. There's nothing wrong with those, but the primary purpose is to cover nakedness. Third, you can wear clothes and still be naked. Did you know that? You can wear clothes and still be naked. In fact, that's what we see in the garden, isn't it? In Genesis chapter 3, they hide themselves from God because they are naked and ashamed of their condition. And in verses 6 and 7, we find Adam and Eve trying to form clothes. They try to make these clothes, but they failed in doing that. And we know they failed because later God says, you're still naked and I need to clothe you again. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, God creates clothes for them to adequately, properly clothe them. Just because we wake up in the morning and put some clothes on does not necessarily mean that we are clothed. Just because we cover certain parts of our body does not mean that all the parts that need to be covered are. Finally, and fourthly, God's standard remains constant. God's standard doesn't change. What is nakedness? What is not nakedness? And this is true in all areas of life, I think. Lying is wrong in all situations. Murder is wrong in all situations. You know, there's never a time that you're going to say, it's okay to murder in this sense. And I realize that's an extreme example, right? Lust is wrong. Unlawful lust, that is, outside of, as God describes it, outside of the marriage relationship. Divisions among brethren is wrong. Malice and hatred are wrong. All these kinds of sins. You see these lists of sins in Scripture. And you look at all those sins, you say, those are wrong. In every single instance, those are wrong. They're always wrong. God's standard for clothing is no different. Exposing nakedness is always wrong. It's always shameful. It's always, regardless of the location or activity, perhaps with the exceptions that God has provided in the marriage relationship and so forth. But we decide every morning what to wear for the day. We wake up every morning and we go to our closets and we rummage the clothes that we've been blessed to have and we pick out something to wear. But I want to encourage you to do with this week and with the rest of your life, hopefully, with the summer months ahead of us, I want you to make an effort to wear God-glorifying clothes. I want you to make an effort to be careful how you walk in all areas of your life, including in this one. Thanks be to God who not only gives us direction for our lives, who not only gives us guidance in the benign things, what we consider maybe benign things of life, you know, even the clothes that we wear, God has given us a direction to go. Thanks be to him who gives us this direction, but also because he has graciously offered to clothe us in his son. And as we wrap this up, that's what I want to leave you with, that God offers to clothe you in his son. To put on Christ in baptism is to become to be conformed to the image of him. And if there's any way that we can help you with that, of course, that's our goal here, is to help you become more today what God wants you to be than you were yesterday. And if we can assist you in any way with that, if we can open God's word with you and study it, if we can encourage you in any way, why don't you come now and let us know what we can do for you while we stand and while we sing a song of encouragement.